Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents A Decade of Death and Decisions by Drew Hayes. Narrated by Matt Godfrey. Year 1. 1. You cannot believe this Frankenshit. For one damn year, you were prepared in advance. You shopped early, picking something fun, recognizable, and unique. It was all lined up, and at tonight's Halloween party, you were going to be the center of attention. People would bring you beers, laugh at your costume, and you'd have an instant conversation starter. It was all perfect. Until Jim, your roommate, came home wasted in the middle of the night and turned your costume into a bong. You're still not even sure how it worked, really. There was nothing remotely bong-like in the original materials. Still, when you walked out this morning, your steampunk Dankwing Duck costume was now unquestionably a bong. It was also in no shape to be worn, unfortunately. That was why you're walking down a windy sidewalk in the crisp fall air on Halloween Day, trying desperately to find something passable for tonight's party. Not just any party, either. The Halloween Hell House Hauntstavaganza. The revelry itself was going to be awesome. Great food, free beer and liquor, not to mention fellow college revelers as far as the eye could see. According to local legend, in the years it had been getting thrown by some unknown patron, the event had risen past all the local clubs, bars, and frats for the must-attend party of the year. However, the mysterious owner of the mansion where it was held took Halloween super seriously. Bouncers at the door had been known to turn away people who they felt hadn't put in appropriate effort on their costume. Trying to get in without one was like trying to make James Joyce enjoyable. It couldn't be done. Perhaps that's why all the stores were looted to the bones. You've checked every shop in the area and seen little more than a wizard's hat, a barbarian's plastic axe, and one child-sized little Bo Peep outfit. After contemplating the Bo Peep option longer than you're proud of, you did grab the hat and axe because at this point you're grasping at straws. A rogue stone juts out from the sidewalk, but in your costumeless funk, you don't notice it. The stone snags your foot and nearly sends you tumbling to the ground. With more grace than you'd have believed yourself capable of mustering, you catch yourself at the last moment. As you recover your bearings, you notice a spooky shop across the street. It's made of aged, dark wood and has spiderwebs obscuring most of the windows. In gold filigree writing across the front door are the words, "Transient Collectibles." You're almost positive it used to be a Blockbuster, so it sort of makes sense something else bought the space. With a half-hearted shrug, you head toward the shop, because even if it's not exactly a Halloween store, you still bet you can find some good stuff. A small bell tinkles overhead as you step in. It smells like an old keg line, musty and with a strange whiff of yeast mixed in. All along the shelves are various knickknacks, a set of golden rings that seems to glow softly in the light, a fake dragon's skull, almost as long as a cat, containers with colored liquids and signs in a language you can't read. It's Latin, by the way, and you took that as a class freshman year, but showing up day drunk didn't exactly precipitate a healthy learning environment.
What do you want?
The words come from an old woman manning a counter near the back. Wrinkled skin, slightly hunched. You know what? I think you know what an old woman running a shop like this is supposed to look like. Dragging it out just feels mean, so we'll skip ahead. I was looking for a costume. The woman snorts, a phlegmy sound that makes you wish you had some hand sanitizer on you, despite the distance.
I don't trade in costumes. I deal in authentic wares only.
Costumes can be authentic, you point out. That makes them even better. You can pass as a totally different person if they're good enough. The old woman gives you a long stare, then motions you to come forward. As you move through the store, it feels like some of the sculptures along the higher shelves are watching you, subtly shifting to take in your changing location. Arriving on the register, you notice it is set on top of a display case with frosted glass, which you feel defeats the purpose of a display case.
So, you want to be something other than what you are?
Well, yeah, it's Halloween. Being just you's pretty lame.
Being yourself would be the rarest costume of all for most.
She disagrees.
I am a businesswoman, however, so I'm always up to make a sale.
You see her bend down and reach into her frosted display case. She emerges with a large jar holding a few tablespoons of golden powder.
This will do the trick.
It's gold powder. You aren't really wrong, but she still looks at you like those words were wildly stupid.
It's something that will really transform you. And you can't beat the prize.
Now that perks the interest of your broke college student ears. Free?
No, silly one, nothing in this world is free. For this, shall we say the cost is a dream? Due at the end of Halloween night, but because I'm sporting, it can be a dream fulfilled or a dream forsaken. That's up to you.
You're pretty certain this lady is campaigning for re-election as mayor of Wacky Town. But you're in her store, and this state has pretty lax gun control laws, so better to be polite until you know what's up. Sounds like a great deal. The old woman sticks out her hand, and you take it, giving it a firm shake, just as generations of societal rules have instructed you to do. The instant you grasp her hand, a strange tingle flares from your arm to your stomach. It might be a light swirl of magic. Or maybe that lunch burrito isn't sitting great. Either way, probably best to wrap this up quick.
Now then, I'll just sprinkle this on one of your toys, and you should be set.
Letting your hand go, she motions to the barbarian axe and wizard hat, both poking out of your bag. Looks like one of them is getting coated in golden dust. Poll. What do you hand her? Wizard hat? Barbarian axe? Wizard hat. 2. Still uncertain why you're playing along with this, you dig into the plastic bag and pull out the wizard hat. You hand it over reluctantly, aware that if she does something weird, your already shitty costume is going to get 50% shittier. Her gnarled fingers clutch the hat, and she sets it on top of the display case. With more care than you expected, the old woman takes the scoop of gold powder and sprinkles it on top of your wizard hat. As it falls, a strange ripple courses through the air, like looking down a highway on a hot summer day. Then, as suddenly as it started, the air shimmer is gone and she's handed you back your property.
Just remember, like all magic of Halloween, it starts and ends with the night,
she warns as you stow the wizard hat back in the plastic bag.
And don't forget, fulfilled or forsaken, you owe me a dream by All Saints' Dawn.
Oh yeah, totes. You hurry the words out while scrambling toward the exit with as much subtlety as you can muster. It isn't a lot. The old woman makes no move to stop you, though you can still feel the statue's stares from the higher shelves as you push open the door. Sprinting back into the street, you find the gray daylight calms your nerves and makes you wonder what you were feeling so weirded out about. You don't turn back, however. Instead, you start jogging through the cold air toward home. Even among the starkly lit signs of reality, you can still feel those stares lingering on your skin. It's a sensation that won't fade until you're back in your apartment and have had a long, hot shower. A few hours later, after time to let the ooginess of the shop fade away, finds you somewhat more optimistic about your costume. Digging through your closet allowed you to find some old costume remnants from Halloween's gone by, which have been sheared and repurposed to complement your wizard hat, though you might have gone with the axe if possible, just to avoid thinking about that afternoon's experience. Your materials didn't lend themselves to a barbarian costume. They did, thankfully, let you create a passable wizard outfit. You took a blue snuglet and wore it like a robe, added some silver star stickers to match the pattern on the hat, and found an old rain stick of Jim's to serve as a staff. It no longer makes the rain sound, though, because last year Jim turned it into a bong. Jim might have a problem, but you aren't going to worry about that tonight. Admiring yourself in the apartment's bathroom mirror, you feel like this might just work. Yes, the bulk of your outfit was haphazardly assembled, and it shows, but the culmination of everything sort of works together. The hat is definitely the standout component. In the store, it looked like cheap molded felt with a few garnished stars sewn on. Atop your head, it seems authentic and regal, the stars almost glowing at the edges. You surmise the lighting at the costume store was shitty. You are kind of slow on the uptake.
"Hey, hurry up," Jim yells, pounding on the door. "I want to get going soon, but I gotta piss. That's like a 5-minute procedure in this thing."
Even with the bathroom door closed, you know Jim is dressed like a famous dragon turtle with a penchant for abduction, and that he's going to use the want-to-see-my-castle line all night long. "I'm almost done. What time is it?" You'd like to snip a few loose threads if there's time, though at this point such actions are the equivalent of getting a paint job for an El Camino.
"Fuck, man, you know I can't read digital," Jim calls back. "The sun is pretty much down, though, so maybe 7 or 8.
You're contemplating how little sense that statement made when suddenly your entire body seizes up. It's like the time you drunkenly tried to fix the television. You feel as though your every cell is being ripped apart by electricity. Your bones seem to be stretching and contracting simultaneously, while your vision has completely dissolved into static. There's no way to tell how long the attack lasts, only that it ends when you fall in a crumpled heap. A minute later, you pull yourself up from the floor. Since you use the bathroom counter to do this, you are immediately struck by the sight of yourself in the mirror. Gone is the worn-out snuglet and stars. In their place is a vast, complex robe, so dark it seems like someone dipped it in midnight. As you stare into the fabric's depths, you think you can make out tiny stars swirling about, like dust motes, scattering away when you try and focus on them. The staff is no longer a rain stick turned bong. Now it has become a long length of gnarled wood, with various symbols etched into its surface. Your eyes have changed too. They're glowing with an unearthly blue light, which matches the sparks of energy intermittently leaping between your fingers.
"Jim, did you put acid in the coffee today?"
"Nah, man, I learned my lesson."
"Wait, did you use creamer?"
After a furtive moment searching your memory, you find the answer.
"Not today."
"Then you should be fine. Why, something up?"
I'm not sure.
You finish getting up and stare at the reflection. Carefully, you pull the hat from your head, tensing for another burst of electric seizure. Nothing happens. You check your head for lacerations or bruises, and finding nothing, must conclude that you are not experiencing a head trauma-induced hallucination. No, instead, it just seems like you've turned into a wizard. Taking a deep breath, you steel yourself. Right now, this is weird and all, but it's just a costume. It's not like you actually got powers. Energy sparks off your hands again, right on cue. One spark hits your toothbrush and causes it to levitate off the counter. Okay, so this shit might be a bit more than cosmetic. There's only one way to see for sure. You're going to have to try a spill. On the counter is an empty plastic cup that you'd previously had filled with pre-game beer. Next to it is a creepy ceramic frog figurine Jim made in one of his art classes. Refilling cups and animating the inanimate both seem like pretty standard wizard fare. Poll. What do you cast magic on? Beer cup? Ceramic frog? Beer cup. 3.
staring into the recently emptied plastic cup. You narrow your eyes slightly as your focus intensifies. The crackling blue at your fingers sparks more rapidly, as if it knows it's about to be used. You lick your lips and reach within your memory to find magic words which can be used to alter the very laws of reality.
Fucking magic.
Fucking magic? Really? Not Alakazam or Abracadabra or even Presto? You watched Lord of the Rings last damn week, so you know what? Fuck it. Just fuck it. It is what it is, and we're moving on.
Blue lightning leaps from your palm, striking the red cup and engulfing it in a blinding white glow. When the glow fades, you tentatively peer at your work. Sure enough, the cup is now filled to the brim with pale brown beer. You carefully pick it up and take a test sip. It's good, cold, and carbonated like it just came from a keg. You're so impressed with yourself that you're less careful putting it down, and the cup tumbles onto its side. Beer gushes out of it, landing on the floor by the toilet. And it keeps gushing. The cup is sending a never-ending flow of alcohol onto the floor, and within moments, the whole place is going to be a sticky mess while you stand there staring like a schmuck. Finally, you snap into motion when the expanding beer puddle hits your right shoe. You grab the cup and turn it onto its base. It's filled to the brim, but no longer overflowing. You stand over the toilet and delicately tilt the cup, spilling alcohol into the open porcelain bowl. Under normal circumstances, this would, of course, be sacrilege, but normal seems to have gone out for cigarettes, and who knows when it will ever come back. With some experimentation, you learn that the further you tip the cup, the more forcefully the beer comes out. When flipped all the way over, it shoots out like there's a fire hose blasting it. While a never-ending beer cup is pretty sweet, this wasn't the spell you tried to cast. It occurs to you that maybe you should be careful with your magic, since it seems you don't quite have perfect control yet. Big shock, Mr. Fucking Magic.
Dude!
Jim is pounding on the door again and nearly making you drop the beer.
I need to piss. Unless you've been hit with a magic spell and transformed into your costume, there is no excuse for taking this long.
You stare at the door for several seconds, and then let out an exaggerated sigh and reach for the knob.
Actually,
one bathroom break and recap later, you and Jim are sitting in your living room as you finish explaining the events of the afternoon. Jim has put in a serious effort to see the bottom of that magic cup. However, so far it has come to no avail. He is straddling a bar stool so as not to ruffle his dragon turtle costume. Your wizard garb seems to be immune to things like wrinkling, so you are far less concerned.
So, that's the gist, you surmise. Looks like I'm a wizard tonight. Anyway, want to hit the party?
As soon as he hears the word party, Jim is already flashing a thumbs up.
Oh, hells yeah, but I think you're overlooking something.
You said the lady told you the price of your costume was a dream fulfilled or a dream forsaken, right?
Yeah, whatever that means. Jim shakes his head.
It means that lady is going to take a dream away from you come sunrise.
A worm of dread wiggles through your gut at those words.
Wait, what? How can she do that? How do you take away a dream?
Asks the guy who made a never-ending beer cup.
Jim punctuates his words with a hearty gulp from the aforementioned container.
Well, shit. Maybe it won't be so bad. What's one dream in the grand scheme of things?
You try and do a moderately successful job to keep the mounting fear from your voice.
Sort of depends on the dream. I bet you wanted to get hitched one day, or have kids, or live past 30.
The worm of worry has quickly grown into a serpent, as realization of your predicament finally sets in.
Fuck!
Exactly, Jim concurs.
So it seems like we should go after the other option.
There's another option? Jim rolls his eyes.
Dude, you act like you've never seen The Little Mermaid. The shop owner laid it on the table for you. If you make one of your dreams come true,
then that counts as payment. Fulfilled or forsaken.
Pretty standard magical bargain, really.
Part of you wonders why Jim is taking this so rationally. Then you realize he's probably so high he thinks he's midway through a weird hallucination. Oddly, that shit is right in Jim's wheelhouse, so it sounds like you might want to take his advice.
I have to make a dream come true by sunrise? I still feel like I'm pretty well screwed.
You do have magical powers, Jim reminds you.
Oh yeah, that might help. So, what dream should I go for?
Tapping his head to signify deep thought, Jim's image of intellectualism is somewhat barred by his perpetual sips from the bright red cup in his hand.
You've been trying to break one of your older brother's records for a long time now. I'd say pulling that off would count as a dream fulfilled.
Ah, your brother, Thad. Older than you, better looking than you, and way more charismatic than you. He's been a walking legend since he was crawling. Aside from his incredible skills on the football field, which you have 0% chance of replicating, he was also known as the hardest partier your college ever saw. His frat still has a board full of records he set, from the most pizzas eaten in a night, to longest keg stand, to fastest beer drinking. That last one, by the way, he earned while leading your college to victory in the Intramural Beer Olympics. Beating even one of his vaulted accomplishments would definitely give you a warm glow of satisfaction.
Not bad, you agree. But even with magic, that could be tough. What about something I'm actually good at? I've wanted to take the plunge on my cooking skills, and tonight there's a Halloween fair with a pie contest.
Dude, you want to skip the party of the year and try to win a pie contest?
My new dream will be punching you in the face if we do that, Jim informs you.
Fine, you're so smart, then what's another good one?
Maybe you could talk to Victoria Dempsey.
Jim smirks as your face immediately flushes red. Victoria Dempsey went to the same high school as you, and like the majority of your peers, you were more than somewhat aware of her beauty. It was a happy surprise when you saw her in a class freshman year and realized you'd picked the same college.
It was a less happy surprise when you remembered she didn't even know your name. She is definitely a dream, in more contexts than one.
I don't know what you mean.
You lie terribly.
I'm not saying you should try to get a kiss or take her home. Honestly, just having a real conversation with the chance to spark a connection seems like a big step for you. But whatever you decide to do, we better get moving. Only so many hours of Halloween to work with.
Poll. What dream do you try for? Pie baking contest? Talk to Victoria Dempsey? Break one of Thad's records? Talk to Victoria Dempsey.
4. I'm going to try and talk with Victoria, you declare after a few moments' consideration. Winning the pie contest wouldn't really be proving my talents if I used magic to do it. And I've got a feeling that what mystical force has protected Thad's record probably didn't take Halloween off. Talking to a girl, that much I should actually be able to pull off.
Kick ass!
Jim rises from his stool.
That means we still get to hit the party.
He takes another giant swig from the cup of infinite booze. By your count, he's probably drained the equivalent of 5 or 6 regular ones.
Looks like you're driving yet again. Before we go, you want to try and magic my costume into being cooler?
No way, you immediately reply. I'm still getting the hang of this. The last thing I need is to turn you into a real video game villain.
That sounds awesome as hell!
Jim sighs, but he lets the matter drop. Together, the two of you load up into Jim's Jeep and drive off into the night. One uneventful drive later, you have arrived at the site of the greatest Halloween party the entire area has to offer.
Holy shit.
You don't intend to whisper, yet your word still comes softly. Since the last party, your mind has managed to wash away the spectacle and detail of the mansion that houses the Haunstrafaganza. The mansion where it's held is normally inaccessible, locked behind a massive gate and surrounded by dense forest. Now, having just parked and admiring the scenery, you are truly struck with a sense of wonder. seeing as you got turned into a wizard less than an hour ago, that is certainly saying something. The place is massive. Looks like 4 stories tall and who knows how wide. The architecture is Gothic, and the veneer painted gray-black. It's surrounded by rough grass, and a thick fog is hovering mere inches from the ground. In the rear, you can make out a small graveyard, with bone-white markers protruding up like a skeleton's abandoned teeth. Just above the chimney sits a full moon, swollen and orange as it gazes down upon you. That part is especially weird because you saw the moon driving over, and it was at quarter crescent. Of course, the spectacle is made somewhat less realistic by the multitude of cars parked around you and the long line waiting for entrance. You and Jim hustle through the crowd and take a place waiting for entry. He has brought the infinite beer cup, though why he is bringing beer into an open bar party is beyond your comprehension. The two of you admire the costumes surrounding you, noting that many are quite spectacular, as good as, if not better than, your magically crafted one. Up ahead is a knight in full plate, gleaming silver in the moonlight as they grip their sword and shield. A witch cackles at the front, hideous features and shriveled body hopping through the entrance. A muscular man who reminds you of a video game character you can't quite place is wearing a gi and red headband, flexing without an audience to show off his sculpted body. A small cluster of people are dressed like power wranglers, complete with oversized helmets. You shake your head at the last group. Rookie mistake. Never wear a head covering to a drinking party. They'll be popping those bad boys off all night every time they want a sip. The line moves surprisingly quickly. The muscular bouncer is at the door, admitting or rejecting people in mere seconds. You don't know what the criteria for entry is, however, you're really glad you didn't end up having to do the hodgepodge outfit you originally wore. From the look of some of the costumes getting turned away, you're not certain it would have flown. At last, you and Jim reach the front. The large man with dark hair and sunken eyes looks you up and down critically.
Acceptable dedication demonstrated. Good. Both can come in.
He motions through the door.
Bar is first floor, dance hall is second floor, haunted maze is third floor. Fourth floor will get unlocked later this evening.
With that, he has shoved you through the door and turned his attention to the next people in line. The house's inside matches the exterior's decor. Spooky sculptures, ancient paintings, dust and cobwebs in every corner you see. Part of you wonders if the owner lives like this year-round or if they only redecorate for Halloween. Either option seems like a lot of work. You also notice that, despite the insane amount of cars outside and people you saw coming in before you, the place isn't packed. There are ample folks visible. However, you expected it to be like a bar on St. Patrick's Day, a massive crush of bodies from the moment you walk in. Instead, there is room to walk around. And the overall noise is low enough that you can even see people talking without yelling. To accommodate so many people so easily, this mansion must be even bigger than you realized. True, you should have remembered this from last year. However, your memory of the occasion is, let's be polite and say, spotty. It does have an open bar, after all. A few feet from the front foyer is a sign that looks like an abandoned road post. The marker pointing to the left says bar, and the one sticking right toward the stairs say dance and maze. The bar area you can actually see. It's through an archway and filled with dozens of people, all accessing one of the bountiful kegs or availing themselves to the services of one of the bartenders dressed like reanimated corpses. The other two areas are a bit more of a mystery. You expect the dance hall will be like a club and also having refreshment areas. But as far as the maze is concerned, you've got no idea what might be in store.
Okay, wizard boy, what's the plan?
Jim asks.
Step one in talking to someone is actually finding them, so where do you think she would be?
That's a good question. Victoria loves cocktails, dancing, and haunted amusements enough to be enjoying any one of the 3 activities. You know this only because she headed up a Halloween dance committee in high school, actively promoting it to make sure it had a good turnout.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?